When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. And if you're asking why I have a smile on my face, given the week that we just had, it's because we got another week to play games. It's the fun of being a football fan. Joining me on the show today is Kate. How are you doing, ma'am?
Doing well. Voice is pretty shot from heckling the Spokane bench yesterday. So
that's the real win. That is the real win. how was the vibes in the stadium yesterday? Obviously, I wasn't there because I was at a wedding. But how was the vibes in the stadium?
Well, the attendance was great. I think it was over 5,500 people were there. The weather was beautiful, sunny, 72. So before kickoff, and I'd say before halftime, vibes were great in the stadium. I think the result wore on the atmosphere a bit. A goal each half sort of takes the air out of the place. But other than that, it was great. And I hope that it's a sign that we'll continue, as the weather gets warmer, we'll continue to have those great attendances and 5K plus people showing up week in, week out to support the Kickers.
Yeah, for real, for real. Yeah, there was a lot going on in the city. You had, the 10K, a lot of soccer tournaments and whatnot. So getting 5,500 at the game? Ain't a lot. Camping up in their bag later, but we'll talk about that. Also joining the show, making his – is this your season debut?
No.
I feel
like you're the veteran.
Is this your
season? No. I was there for the a couple things this season.
I'm talking about on the pod. This might be your debut. Yeah. You're the veteran that's finally coming back from injury.
Yeah, no, this season, I think I've had a couple games this season so far.
You're pretty much the Nathan Ani on this podcast, where you're the center back on the bench that we're desperately needing.
of many that we are needing to come out of injury, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's really so. But first and foremost, before we get started, listeners, we got a goal by August. We want to get to 50 subscribers on YouTube. We're at 42. We need 8 people. So if you're watching the show on YouTube, if you're not subscribed, please do so. Give us a like and share with a friend. And if you're already subscribed, kudos to you because you're cool. But share with a friend and tell them to subscribe. Doesn't hurt anything. It's free. Yeah, that's the goal. So make sure you share, like, and subscribe. Guys, before we go talking to the Spokane game, let's take a little while. Let's talk about the big announcement that got announced. NWSL is returning to Richmond. Kate, I'm going to pass it over to you because if you don't know, and you should know because you listen to this podcast, Kate is our resident Richmond Vine lead on that. So, Kate, I'll let you talk about how cool is it that we got an NWL scene in River City.
I am so excited for this. So the Spirit will be coming down. The Washington Spirit will be coming down on July 31st to play the Chicago Red Stars. The only slight damper, as I was reminded, is this is during the Olympics. So any players involved on either two teams who might be involved in Olympic action will not be with us. I Unfortunately, Trinity Rodman, I think, is too good to be left off the Olympic roster, so we may not actually be seeing Trinity Rodman at the Grand Old Lady this summer. But either way, it should be a whole lot of fun. I've only heard incredible things about what it's like when the Spirit supporters come down to City Stadium. They've come before. Everyone said they had printed out chants and everything to get the whole stadium involved in supporting the Spirit. So it should be a whole lot of fun. We have a friend of the pod who should be coming, Douglas. So it'll be excited to see some, DC friends coming down for that as well. Getting a much more intimate viewing experience at City Stadium than they do in Audi.
Look, Audis are, I don't know if you've been to Audi Field before, Shanair, but if you haven't, man, Audi Field is literally the Stairway to Heaven stadium. Like, the way how the steps go, if you're an opposition supporter, now I don't know how it is in the rest of the stadium, but as like an opposition supporter, dog, it is a hike. Like, you be like, and don't let it be hot and humid.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, it gives me vibes of where I grew up. I remember when they first built Gillette Stadium, before they had Foxborough Stadium, and they have this switchback ramp that leads up to like the thing switches back probably about 5-6 times. Like, and when I say the ramp, like the ramp goes for probably about 100 yards each way. Like, and you're just going up and up, and you're like, oh my goodness, when am I gonna get to the top? Don't be late for a game and you feel you gotta run. You get halfway there, you're like, okay, my lung's about to burst. I can't make it all the way.
You're done.
It's like, I'll just miss the game.
let me ask y'all a question. Y'all ever run and like do like the imaginary, like timeout, I need a breather? That's how it probably is.
Yep.
F sub.
I need a 20. Oh, no, man. Yeah, Doug was the one who hit me up when the announcement came out, because Nathan and, everyone else was saying, like, oh, we're going to have a halftime announcement. We're going to let you know at halftime. And I don't know who leaked it. I don't know if the NWSL just put out a random tweet like, oh, yeah, we're going here. I can just imagine Richmond front office panicking, like, oh no, this is the moneymaker. We were supposed to be money off of this.
Disappointing in the stadium. The sound also wasn't great. So I think the people in the center of the stadium where everyone was standing were getting told cheer, clap whenever anything happened by the folks standing in the field. They were locked in. The people sort of at the extremities, including Section O, could really not hear what was going on at all. So we were a couple of us were just clapping and screaming, yes, NWSL, trying to get people involved. Being like, there's something happening on the field. Listen. So it's probably good that it was leaked or tweeted before the game itself started, because unfortunately the acoustics were not conducive to every person in the stadium actually hearing the big news.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So that's what's happening. I think if you're a city, what is it called? City Stadium Plus? They changed the name of so many times. City Stadium Plus member, you'll get first ticket access, I think May 6th, and then general public get on May 9th. So if you're interested in going, you might want to sign up for City Stadium Plus, get the tickets, or see if someone you know got City Stadium Plus, get the tickets for you. Game is when July 31st?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wednesday
so.
Night. Kickers are also playing away the weekend before and the weekend after. So we should – it'll be our fix. It'll be our in-person
stuff. There you go. Yeah, I'll definitely be there, man. I've seen one NWSL game in person. Loved it. And I don't have a teammate in the NWSL because nobody's in Richmond. I have the Ivy. But, yeah, I look forward to also hanging out with that. Yep. In other news, before – I know we got to get into the games, but other news, shout-out to Pablo Jara. He just announced that he is having a beautiful baby boy. I think they dropped it on Thursday. So, shouts out to him. I think this is baby number one for him. So, baby Zaka can give us some tips on how to deal with that and whatnot.
Yeah. Having a baby season.
You're going to be tired, my man. Going to be tired. So, let's start off. Oh, US Open Cup. Happened Wednesday against Loudoun United. Went to penalties. I'm not going to lie. I told Coach Darren after the game, and I made the tweets. It was Darren's best coach game. Even though the game didn't go the way we wanted to win, obviously, I'm also kind of thankful we did it, because seeing that the pot that Loudoun United was thrown into with LAFC, Las Vegas, and Orange County, all West Coast California, well, Nevada, West Coast teams, would have been a tough travel day for the Richmond Kickers. But despite all that, what are you guys' thoughts on the U.S. Open game and to come of it?
I think with regards to what you said with best game coached by Darren, I must agree, because you could see how he reacted to what Loudoun were doing. Loudoun dominated the first half. We came into the second half, Kickers dominated the second half. We go into to extra time, first half of extra time, Loudoun dominated that. Again, Darren made some adjustments. Second half of extra time, Kickers dominated that. It was a very, very back and forth. You would not have thought that these two teams were in two separate leagues, to be honest with you. To think that Loudoun is a USL championship team or a USL League One team, it did not look like it at all. It looked like these were two evenly matched sides that were duking it out. And unfortunately, it's like nobody showed up with their shooting boots, because neither team could hit a barn door for the whole game. Yeah. But it was chaos. It was excitement. And even though there were no goals scored in open play, it was fireworks the whole game through. And I really think that the Kickers should be very proud of their performance against Loudoun.
Yeah. Kate, let me ask you this, because you were at the game. I know a lot is going to be talked about Bill Hart's performance, Boshua and Neil, how they came on and they had a big impact on the game. First half, we saw the likes of Justin Succo, Nick Simmons, Jao Gomero, the backups, you know, the rotational guys, the game changers. How important was that first half to set up the second half and extra time and wanted to get the Kickers that extra boost?
Yeah, I think from a mentality perspective, knowing obviously Loudoun rotated as well. So Kickers had six players rotated from the weekend and Loudoun rotated five. So both teams did rotate, but knowing that you could rotate six of your starting 11 against a USL championship team and hang with them for a full half of football is, I think that does wonders for the confidence of those players who rotated. Knowing that they even like that they could hang with the championship. And I think it put Kickers in a much stronger position going into the second half. Knowing that they had sort of time wasted, essentially, obviously nobody hit any goals, but then you shorten the window of when you can concede a goal and you're strengthening your attack. I think it was really smartly done. I think it helped. Obviously, the extra 30 minutes were minutes on Neil and Bill Hart's legs that Darren likely would have preferred to avoid if he could have. The reason he rotated them in the first place. But the fact that they then almost played a complete full game, we didn't have to bring them out. We didn't have to take them out. We didn't have to drop our level in any way as the game ticked on, as the game got later. I think that was just it was really great to see how Darren went about that, both in terms of the confidence for the rotated players and the energy that the subs had to be game changers in a way that they don't typically have. You asked a question after the game, I think, Elliot, about what was Neil's approach to coming out on as a sub as opposed to starting the game and sort of how his approach to the game changes. And it was really interesting to hear his answer. I don't know if you want to talk more about what he said there.
It's funny you said that, because we did record like a whole podcast afterwards, which, because of technology, did not have any audio to it, which is fun. But yeah, so we talked to Neil afterwards, and he pretty much was just like, it was like a weird dynamic where it's like you're coming in at halftime, but because how well the first half went, it kind of already like, all right, I know what to do. Like Neil said it, and this is why I kind of think Neil would make like a great coach. because he was like, he was playing the game in his mind in the first half, like as if he was on the field. So like whoever was in his position, I think it was Suko. Like he was playing as if he was on the field for a replace for Suko. And they kind of just reading the game like that and how to navigate it and change things. Given that, man, like Manil, Billhart, and Poshua came on the field, like you could tell, like the offensive output for the Kings just went up to another level. Where like they were getting behind, they were creating chances, they looked dangerous, and it was just all working. Like it looked really, really good. Now, granted, we did have to hang on by our teeth a little bit because. And honestly, and we need to back up and probably give his praise as well. Ryan Shallow stood on his head. Stood on his head. Like he was having some Manuel Noria-esque moments.
You want to say yes, something? Absolutely. I really think that and one thing that I was really confused about was and we know that some of these soccer apps are a little wonky, but how Jakeman was considered man of the match based according to FotMob, but Shalo not really ranked very high, and I'm like, the dude stood on his head for practically the whole game, or at least the first half of both regular time and extra time. One player that was extremely scary and dangerous was Cristiano Francois, who his pace was a nightmare for us to deal with. And we were lucky that he did not have his shooting boots because they could have torn us apart simply with just
them. I'm just going to say something because a lot of United's Abbott, all of a sudden, when they won off a penalty kick on sudden death, were in a tweet like they blew us out by 4 goals. And Francois got shot down by a 17-year-old, Griffin Garnett. Once again, I know Griffin Garnett's parents listen to this. All I'm saying is the kid can go to college later. He can wait. I'm not saying I'm going to finance it because I don't got the means for that. But he can wait. The soccer career can pay for the college degree.
Yeah, no, Garnett definitely did do a good job. I mean, to be honest with you, the backline did what they could to deal with Francois, because for you to ask a center back to keep up with that type of pace is a tall ask, and Garnett really handled his own. He made things difficult for Francois and made Francois have to go into like sixth gear and with the turbo as many times as possible because Garnett wasn't going to let him off easy. And I think when we get into the second half, you see, I think that there's a switch, both bringing on some of the key players that Darren did bring on in the second half, as well as Loudon, I think changing up their makeup and changing up their plan to kind of give Cristiano Francois a rest, because the amount of, I guarantee you, Francois did more sprints in that first half than most Olympic sprinters do in an entire competition. Like he was at almost every play, he was trying to run in behind that back line. So that second half was kind of his rest period. And we capitalized on that. We capitalized on the fact that we did not have him running at us every single play. And we kind of dominated that second half. Of course, bringing on Neil was a big, big key because he really makes things tick in the midfield. He draws a lot of defenders to him with his ball handling skills, and which creates a lot of open space for a lot of other players and creates a lot of dangerous situations for the opposition. So that was a very good call to bring him on in the second half. We created a lot of – there were – I lost count of how many goal line scrambles there were on either side in the game, and in this half as well.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things was the defending just got increasingly heroic as the game went on and increasingly desperate. Like every body part that can legally touch the ball at some point was used to stop a shot. Like Zaka's forehead at one point, like in the 6-yard box, people's backs, balls were deflecting off a defender and then off another defender before getting cleared. It was just it was completely heroic, and it is astonishing that no one gave away a penalty, that no one picked up a red card with, because it was, the chaos was just unbelievable in the box. Like the shots, I think the shot quality varied, but the breakaways, the goalies just putting their entire bodies on the line, both teams had a breakaway that everyone thought was going to automatically be a goal, and the keepers just made themselves big. They came out at the right time and got in the way. I was watching from the press box, so watching it go end to end with just every body part you can possibly want just flinging in front of the ball was ridiculous at times. Just had the fact that nobody, an arm never was one of those body parts, is
and then you got to like extra time and whatnot, and I think like the cool thing about it was this was a lot of people's first time experiencing like penalty kicks in person for a big event.
Right? Yeah. I think the last time was US Open Cup against DC.
Yeah. So I think the thing was like everyone in Section O was sitting there waiting. Like, all right, which way do we go? Do we stay here? Do we go there? And then when the players first came out and they were looking at Section O, we were like, oh, okay, we're good. We can stay down here. So we were actually planning to go up into like the box, we were going to make our way over there. I don't think it was going to work, but we were going to try. So that didn't work. And then we saw Shallow walk towards the opposite goal. And we were like, oh, he's going down there. So it was funny because like, everyone got up from Section O and started walking. Like, it was like a mass migrant. Everyone started walking up. So we're walking through people. And you can tell people are realizing why we're walking over there. And they're like, oh, let's go. So by the time like penalty kick start, the entire stadium, I want to say I haven't seen the attendance. My estimate, it was like maybe 3,500, maybe like 3,800. You have 3,800 people on a Wednesday night in like 3 to 4 sections of the stadium. Mind you, there's also louder supporters there, and they are engulfed by kickers fans. So it's like a lot of players are walking up. You hear little golf claps, and then you just hear a massive amount of boos. And then the reverse, you hear like these little bitty boos, but like massive amount of golf claps and chanting when the kickers players come up. It was hilarious.
Yep, it was really funny to watch from the top, just watching the entire stadium start. People were running, like, oh my gosh, it was.
Yeah,
I definitely saw that on the footage, on ESPN, just as they're starting to head over there, and I'm like, oh, that's going towards the Loudon fans. I know the Loudon fans are over on that side. And then the camera shows you, like, I don't know if it was Mike running with his drum, like, just booking it across.
Like, it literally took me to realize, like, oh, we're over there. Okay. It took us, like, 5 minutes to realize we're over there. We didn't realize it was. But yeah, man. Outside of that, like penalties, it was hard to lose, but every PK was good. Like there wasn't a bad PK. Authors, I even looked at the replay of it. To me, it's just the goalkeeper made a good break on it. Like it doesn't seem like it's too close to the goalkeeper. It's far enough as it can go. Maybe you would have criticized for the height. Because he's a goalkeeper.
I would criticize him for the power. I think he was a little tame with how much power he put on it. And if you're not going to put that much power, it's got to be closer to the post. It's got to be wider where he hit that ball. I think, it was tough. And it makes me wonder, I mean, of course, it's Nick Simmons is a lot younger. He's only 17. I mean, we know why he was subbed off. He was lucky to actually stay on for the whole first half because that tackle against, I think it was Tingy.
Yeah.
When they showed the replay, I was like, ooh, the ref got that wrong. That actually could have been a straight red because he went cleats first into the guy's ankle. So I think very good choice by Darren to sub him off because he's already on a yellow. Lucky to have just gotten a yellow. Let's not push our luck. And with him being that young, you don't want him, you know, that early getting a red card in his career. Like it could harm things. So I commend him for that aggression to go after that and to not let Tingy just take his time on the ball, get the ball, turn around. He said, "No, I'm here." It was ill-advised tackle, but I like the initiative to get there and get to try and get something on it. But I'm wondering if he was the one taking that last PK, if he would have put more power behind his PK. And it's one of those things where sometimes, even if the goalkeeper guesses the right way, if you hit it hard enough and close enough to the post, there's nothing he can do about it. I think that one was just the perfect height, tamely hit, and not far wide enough to give Jackman problems.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get used to PKs because we got League Cup games coming up, this weekend down in Greenville? Who right now are playing against Tormenta. The Altoona thing is there. So we'll see how that goes. That'd be fun. But before we talk about that, we got a game to talk about. Happened yesterday in City Stadium. Like you said, it was a lovely day out. I was at a wedding. Let me ask y'all this question. That's weird how to say that. But when you guys go to a wedding, what is your go-to drink? Like, all right, let's just imagine you're going to a wedding. It's open bar. You don't have to worry about driving anything. What is your go-to drink?
Long Island.
You're basic.
Yeah, I am. I mean, for me, to be honest with you, it would either be a Jack Daniels and Coke, or if they have it, very few bars have it, a Barbancourt and Coke. Haitian rum, whoop whoop. but I mean, it depends on the wedding. It depends on the vibe. If it's a fun vibe, I'm going with a Long Island, something sweet, something that tastes good, you know,
yeah,
fruity, tasty, lemony. It's a tea.
All right. Okay. What about you?
First of all, more of my friends need to start getting married and inviting me to weddings. But second of all, I'm gluten intolerant, so I can't drink any beer. So I drink a lot of dry white wine, and that is what I've been going for at weddings. Yep. A nice dry white wine. It'll do the trick every time.
how old are you?
About to turn 27 in June.
Oh, yeah, your friend's about to do it. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I'm 33, and my friends are like, oh, I'll settle down now. And now I'm cursing them out because I'm like, dude, I need you to tell me details now. Like, I got crap in it.
No, yeah. I'm lucky. My vacation time is my own right now. I
yeah,
not like deny that the privilege I have of my PTO. I get to decide what I want to do with it. But I'm like, dang, can somebody? I want to go to more parties with open bars.
All right. Like, oh. No commitment. I went to a wedding yesterday and it had an open bar. And the drink that I got, so the groom had Mexican rum, right? And the bride, who was my friend, had Hennessy. And he had a drink where they mixed the two in Sprite.
Oh.
One shot of each?
Let's just say two shots of each.
Oh, yeah.
Dog, let's just say a time was had.
How many drinks
put some hair on your chest. One.
Three?
How are you alive right now?
Ooh, Hennessy and Mexican rum. That's
boy. Boy.
Was
yeah.
Huh? Was there a mixer?
It was Sprite. It hit.
That's special. That sounds special.
It was a time. Yeah, so I was watching the game. I cut it off after halftime, so I had to go back and watch the second half today because obviously that's why I didn't watch it. But we saw a lot of rotate. Kate, don't judge me. Okay, look, I don't know if you can drink it, but I will bring it to a tailgate and let y'all experience it.
Bet.
Yeah. Well,
do not judge it until you try it. I'm just saying, folks.
I will have one quarter of a drink.
Yeah, there you go. One quarter.
Yeah, I got an hour plus drive to go back home. I'm trying to make sure that. Well, I mean, we got a whole game to sober up. We're fine.
In the corner, half a section. Don't go be slow. All right, I keep delaying my time in this game. Let's go ahead and talk about it. 2-0 loss against Spokane Velocity. We saw Darren do a lot of rotation for this game. No Bill Harden in the starting lineup. No Dak. Wasn't expecting that because we thought that we would have seen them given how last week went. I mean, played just Wednesday. Spokane Velocity, on the other hand, I don't think they had any misses. Both teams played midweek in the US Open Cup. Both teams went to extra time. Richmond's with the penalty kicks, however. I think the easiest way for me how to sum up this game is that Richmond took a while to get on the ball, and when they did, it was kind of too late. Two, Richmond looked slow and couldn't get it behind Spokane because how much Spokane was pushing us back. And three, we really, 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 really need to get healthy because when this team is missing out on it's on its fourth choice center back, its third choice wing options, it really hinders a lot of what this team wants and tries to do. Kate, Shanira, I'll leave it in y'all hands.
Yeah. I think, well, there's a couple of things that this game really showed me. First of all, we need Emmy back. You could see it in the Loudoun game as well. Like, even though both teams were not scoring, you could see that there is an issue with finishing. There is an issue with the final product with this Kickers team. And it's like everything up until then is good, especially with the way O'Dwyer has been playing, with the way Bill Hart has been playing, with the way Zaka and Vigneault have been playing. But it's like that final product. We need someone who's clinical and can finish. And that's the only guy on the team who I think would be very reliable with almost any shot inside the 18 is Emmy, and we don't have him right now. I do feel there's going to be a vast uptick in goals when we do get Emmy back because everything else is kind of clicking well except that final product. And until then, I think Boswa needs a strike partner up front. We need to go old school with a big man, fast man situation. And Boswa would be the big man.
Bill Hart, but without Bill Hart there, it's hard. Because we see Bill Hart produce from that spot. Like, kind of be like the secondary striker, whatnot, cuts in from the right, do a lot of that heavy lifting for Boswa. Now, granted, Boswa hasn't got his goal either yet. So, but I think that is the natural strike partner. Like, but without Bill Hart, Kate, you could probably help elaborate on this a little bit more than what I can. It seems like the kickers outside of Neal don't have someone that can create their own shot, but also finish.
Yeah.
I think also Bill Hart and Simon Fitch work really well together. Mm-hmm. Bill Hart gives Simon a little bit. He can push forward. He can be an asset going forward. But he also, I think, he is better providing service to the person who takes the ball forward. So he is usually the person who's getting Bill Hart the ball. Bill Hart then goes on the dribble or makes a key pass to the center of the field. So I think Simon plays a lot better, plays a bit more bravely, and his skill set is a lot more complemented when Bill Hart's on the field. So I think it's sort of, there's a natural synergy there. So we lose a lot of Simon's potency when he doesn't have Bill Hart there to interplay with, which I think is another miss. I mean, it's great when a player makes the players around them better, but it also means when that player's not on the field, the other players are worse.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you this. How much of Darren's gameplay was affected by the first half goal, the slip by Maxi on the switch, the ball switch? How much was Darren's gameplay hampered or like caught up?
I don't think it was too much hampered. I mean, yes, they scored. I wouldn't say early. I mean, it's towards the end of the first half, but I think it's just business as usual. I mean, for the most part, whenever the kickers had the ball, I mean, we dominated possession and dominated pass accuracy, and we also had more passes in the opponent's half than they had in ours, which lets you know that we are creating these chances. We're creating these opportunities and just not capitalizing on them. I think to be honest with you, we need a little more confidence in front of goal. And to be honest with you, Wednesday's game could have affected that with how, you know, how crazy that game was. And it can really put a damper on a team when you go through a game and you're like, why can we not score? Like, we're creating these chances. Like, we're creating sitters, absolute sitters, and we're not able to score. Like, what's going on? And it can make players second guess themselves. And, you know, those situations where it's like, oh, there's a ball bobbling and right at the top of the six, I'm gonna just put my foot through it. It's gonna go in, but there are just bodies in front of the goal. And it takes, to be honest with you, apart from Maxi's slip, I don't really see too much wrong with the way the kickers played that first half. We limited them on opportunities. There weren't really that many opportunities, and their danger men were not really that effective throughout the first half. Apart from that goal, Metanier is fairly quiet throughout the first half. And it makes you think, like, if Maxi doesn't lose his footing there's nothing. Nothing happens. You know, if he doesn't lose his footing there, he's forcing Metanier wide. And maybe he might possibly get a cross in, but then he would be facing the corner flag. And I think Maxi does a good job of shepherding players wide when he's playing on that left side, which he did for most of the rest of the game. It's just one of those unfortunate situations. Psychologically, could it have affected some of the guys? Yeah, but with regard to Darren's plan, I don't think it changed too much.
Yeah, I can see that. And also just, I think for all the goodwill this team built up on Wednesday, like the good feelings and tough loss, all that stuff, seeing this performance out of them was kind of disheartening. just because it felt like the wheels were just sputtering. It's almost like my car. The wheels are sputtering, but nothing is happening at all in the engine room. It just never felt like we were going to score. Now, I don't know if that's a byproduct because it takes two teams to play. And we've seen games before where, obviously, against like this team before, where this team can dominate statistically, but on the end product, can they get the result, right? And we've been in games like that where it's happened to us. I think what Spokane did really well was just like, all right, well, once they scored, they kind of just was like, we don't care about holding the ball. We're going to let you do that. And we're just going to put two people in front and behind Neil. So it's pretty much like have James Vaughn and Zaka create, which I'm pretty sure Spokane is okay with because they're like, they're not creators, you know. And the game was like Chandler really never got going in the game. And that's weird for me to say because I never thought I would say Chandler had to get going in the game as a winger. but he never got going. Sarakowski had struggles. Boshua had struggles. So, like, all the people that you think you can use as outlets, they struggled. Maxie got pinned in. He wasn't able to get upfield. Neither was Fitch. It just seemed like a lot of it was the kickers wanted to sit back, protect, and defend, but they couldn't do that because then they had to get in the goal for the goal. But they couldn't get out of their own half. Or when they did get out of their own half, like, they would make an errant pass and the ball would just be disrupted. It just seemed like a lot of disruptions happened and we can never really get going, right? Like, it's like we go, stop. All right, now we got to start over, right? And that's, like, really, really hard to do with a team that, A, doesn't have the creators that they need, and B, like, I think it was either Matt or Kate that put it out there, like, and basically, I think around the 16th minute, the U20 players were out there at one point. Like, it was just like, all right, we might just put up the white flag on this one and call it a day.
Yeah.
And not saying Darren is thinking that, but it's also just like this team has played, what, three back-to-backs already so far this season? Right? And I don't know. Maybe the U.S., like you said, Shannon, maybe the U.S. Open game took more out of this team than what we like to believe or think, or what the players believe or think, you know. But Spokane looked like the fresher team coming off of a road trip from Las Vegas. And granted, they didn't start their starters either, but, like, you know, it helped. Mm-hmm. So, Kate, where does Darren go over here? Like, you got 5 days to rest and recover. Get ready for the first Jägermeister Cup game against Greenville on the road, who just got a win over Tormenta 3-0. We're near the top of the table. It's a new look team. It's not John Harsh esque. Like, where does Darren go from here?
I think that we all have to hope that Bill Hart was rested because this game didn't feel winnable, or Darren made it just a tactical choice to not involve him today, that he's not actually injured. Dak, a little less sure about. He played through. He got injured in the Open Cup game, but finished the game due to pain spray. He said after the game he loaded up on pain spray and finished that game out. We asked him, why didn't he pain spray this week? And he said, nope. I don't know if that was the right call. So hopefully he didn't worsen his injury by pain spraying and finishing that match. Obviously he was instrumental in keeping it 0-0, but let's hope that that did not take him out for a longer stretch now, and that we're going to be looking at these two center backs. Obviously I think it's fine, but I think it's not ideal to be playing long stretches with your backup center backs. So I would say I hope we'll get good news about team selection for the weekend, that Bill Hart will be back involved, because it's tough looking at a bench with two senior players on it, the rest academy kids. The other thing that I've been noticing is that Chandler has been getting hooked relatively early in the second half. He's usually one of the earlier changes. I don't know if I would do that. if he's got the legs for it, if he's able to run, he has the fox in the box instinct that I think we've been missing. He is getting about maybe 2/3 of a game. He's getting 3/5 of a game, however you want to slice and dice it. I think he gets in good positions. I think he's a player who's willing to take a shot if he sees an opportunity without sort of thinking about it too much. He gets in really good positions. He's often crashing in a really good position. You're obviously not going to be at the end of it, of every ball that gets in the box, but he's come very, very close on several occasions on Wednesday and this weekend as well. So I would, based on who the bench options are, I don't think bringing in an academy kid for Chandler when he has been at least shown a willingness to take shots. I just checked his stats. He has 8 shots so far this season. That's higher than Sierakowski. I think he's shown a willingness to take shots, which is what this team has been needing. Is at this level, you just have to take your opportunities. You can't overthink it too much. This team is worse when they overplay the ball, when they take too many touches, when they play too many passes. They are worse. So someone who's just willing to hit the shot, to crash the net, to sort of make trouble, it's paid off a bit so far. So yeah, that would be one change that I would not pull Chandler in the 58th, 60th minute. I would give him a full run out, let him play a full 90, because I think he gets in really good positions.
Yeah, no, like, honestly, that's been the best part about his Kickers team all year. Like, it's just, I think that's why Bill Hart was so missed, because you just lost that. Yeah, F it. It's 20 yards out. I'm just going to try it.
Like, yeah.
Like, I think that's the biggest thing the Kickers just missed, is just his ability to do that. And, I mean, you're right. Like, Chandler does have that ability to go do it. It'll be nice to go see. So we lose the season series in the league to them. And it kind of put us behind the 8-ball. You know, because the league schedule is so compressed now. It feels like how it was last year, like, oh, you got the whole season, but then you got to remember, like, I think like a third of the games got taken away. So we only got, I want to say maybe 18 or so league games left. So we got to get on it soon. If we want to make this, if we want to make this playoff push. Other parts of it is like, I don't want to use like the injuries as like the biggest crunch, but it's hard not to talk about it. Like, it's like you said, if we had Emmy for this US Open Cup game, US Open Cup is different, right? Like, that to me, that felt like the biggest game since the start of the year where we needed Emmy, right? And then in this game, it's like, oh no, we really need Emmy. And then Dax now out. You know, Ani still out, Guy still out. And it's like, oh, we're down to our fourth choice center back now? And then we don't know what's up with Bill Hart. Tony Pineda's out. It's like, yo, like, I do not want to be there right now at all. Having to look at my lineup is like, okay. So who's healthy?
Yeah, who's left?
He's got a starter left. A hurt player.
Legal adults? Starters. And who is healthy?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if Darren just needs to make sure everyone starts taking vitamins and stretching. Like, we need to get back to, like, the Fritstone vitamins and give those to every player before they leave. Like, here you go. Here's your vitamin for the day. Here's your vitamin. Like, I feel like we got to start going back to that, man.
If we need to start a GoFundMe to sign a new player, drop the link. Front office, drop the link. If that's the issue,
I'll be so weak if the Kickers just started like an OnlyFans and be like, "Hey, look, we're using money that's decided a new player." I would sign them. So here you go, just take it. Go.
There have got to be some free agents floating around. Another Maxi who's working out in an indoor soccer facility. Let's go.
Somebody's get somebody. Just still that. Just get healthy. Figure out what the hospital bill is so we can just get everyone healthy. You know how it goes. You gotta laugh the pain away. So we already talked about like Griffin Garnett, whatnot. We saw Pablo Jara back in this game. He got to start a goalkeeper. I think an interesting stat that I found, like, if you want to just talk about how many duels that the Kickers players won, the highest player for the Kickers is Chris Cole, right?
Yeah.
And then in that, like, if you look at the whole list, I want to say the top one, two, three, four, five, the top seven, there's only one Kickers player. So that just tells you, like, it just seemed like this team was just, like, legged. Like, it seemed like they were just behind it the entire game. Like, it took them forever to get on the ball. When they got on the ball, it looked slow, looked a little lethargic. Like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to be a while before we have any back-to-backs like this, right? Like, I think everything now for, like, the next month or so is just one game a week.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe, I don't know. Like, I'm not questioning Darian on it, but maybe it, I know he said like they regen and recover and stuff like that, but maybe it took, maybe Wednesday game took more out of their legs than they originally thought. Cause you can see it out there in the play. Like, it just looked slow.
Yeah.
All right. So, like I said, we got the Jägermeister game coming up on the 27th. Which is a way game. Where is that? Is there a watch party for that? Where is that at? I forgot where it's at. Whatever. What does Darren need to do to tip the odds in his favor and get our first ever win in the Leagues Cup against a Greenville team that is flying right now?
Yeah. Hope for some guys to be back on the roster. Back from injury, to be honest with you, because at least Bill Hart. We need Bill Hart back. We need that threat. One aspect that I think you're getting with Bill Hart is that overload on the right side that he brings when he cuts inside, which allows Fitch to overlap and get into that space, which now we're overloaded on that side. And now that puts the other team in a real bind. To be honest with you, I'm looking at this and it's like, if we don't have Bill Hart to be able to come in and do some damage and create some havoc on that right side, we're struggling there. And to be honest with you, I would think, I honestly think that the lineup we had, if you replace Neil, James Vaughn with Neil, and you replace Sierakowski with Bill Hart, that would actually be a very good start against Greenville, because Neil will give you that dangerous ball control distribution. And I think Chandler is great on the left. I would actually rather him on the left than Sierakowski, to be honest with you. At this point right now, in terms of the form that they are in, Sierakowski on the left, Chandler on the left, Bill Hart on the right, that works for me. Neil playing as a 10 behind either Nick or Boswa, it works good for me.
Yeah. And I know the instinct is to try to start your best 11, but I think Sierakowski is a better – he seems to play better at center forward than he does on the wing. So if you start Boshua and then you actually, you know, bring Sierakowski on as an impact sub in his preferred position, you might actually get – we might actually get a little bit more out of him in that position. Yes, it's less time. Yes, you're not maybe starting your on-paper best 11 players like in your starting 11, but – if we're talking about maximizing how to get the best out of your best 11 players, maybe it's not starting them both at the same time.
Yeah. And Kate just did the wonderful research for us. That watch party is at 7 p.m. at Triple Crossing, the Foster Week one. That's the one near VCU, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go to the watch party. Hang out with us. Have some fun. Why not? Guys, before we wrap up, it get better. This ain't nothing new to us. We've been here before.
Yeah.
You live and you learn. You know, we're like the old man holding the umbrella over the top of the kicker sign when it rains. Like, I'm mad at you, but I still love you. It is what it is. Like, we need to seem to get healthy. Oh, God. Oh, we made the biggest mistake. It was also for the W night. Richmond Ivy, I don't know how I forgot about this. I know Kim Cummins is probably yelling at the mic right now. Sorry, forgot all about it. For the W, we have a podcast name. Oh, we got merch.
I bought this season ticket holder event.
Oh, I need one.
Part of the package. So this is not the package scarf. This is a second scarf.
Yeah. The season ticket gift hasn't came out yet, has it?
No. And we got a t-shirt too.
Ooh.
Look at the other side. Oh. That's yeah.
Is that oh, that is the hashtag. Okay. All right. So for the W league starts May 11th. We will put it out there. We will have a preseason show. Maybe if we're cool enough, we can all meet up for it. We should do that.
We should try. Yeah, we should try and do that. I'm definitely planning on bringing the whole family out to that home opener.
Yeah,
that's a big deal for me. I'm gonna be decked out in green. I don't care.
Remember, everyone, there's only 6 home games, so don't put it off. Don't say, "Oh, I'll catch
you." Yeah.
There's only 6. Yeah. Last game will be the end of June, so the season starts in May. It ends in June. It's a quick sprint, so it's really worth it to try to come out to each one. Even if you did not get a season ticket, with City Stadium Plus, it's actually cheaper to buy each ticket individually than it was to get a season ticket. Obviously, you don't get the bundle with the merch and the event invite and all the fun things like that, but it will not be very expensive to buy a ticket to each of those home games, especially with City Stadium Plus. So it's really worth it to try to make it to all 6, because there are only 6, and then it'll be in a whole other year. It'll be another 10 months before we get to support them again. So make the effort.
Or here we are. You can join Kate's new supporters group, right?
Yes. On Facebook. Yeah. Richmond Ivy Supporters Group. We're in the process of figuring out what that official name will be. So if you have thoughts, you want to weigh in, make sure to join that Facebook group. Feel free to hit us up for the link if you need it. But yes, we'd love to have more and more people join that group, get the discussion going about what we're excited about, what banners we're going to paint, what songs we're going to sing, all that good stuff.
See, and there we go. And obviously, we're looking forward to covering it. It'll be under a different name. It'll be on the same podcast feed, but it'll be under a different name because, you know, they're a different team. We want to give them their own shot. So that name will be coming out when we do our first episode during that team, too. So I'm glad I remember that before we wrap up. But, with that being said, Shaneer, Kate, anything else we have before we finish up tonight's show?
I hope that we have in the league 1 win at home. Attendance was great this weekend. As the weather warms up, we hope attendance stays great. And we've said it before, but if this team could win at home and lose on the road, that would be great. If we could give the folks who pay their hard-earned dollars to show up to City Stadium excited to support the Kickers and make sure that those are the games that we're leave it all on the line and make sure that, you know, it means more when you win at home. So we want to keep those attendances high. We want to make sure people have a good time and want to come back, because ticket sales buy players, ticket sales fund salaries. So the better the attendance is, the more resources this team has to sign players and manage weather in injury crises like they are right now. So let's hope. We continue to prioritize goals at home, you know, a shutout, no Kickers goals to celebrate, also a tough one to take. So hopefully that sort of, it means more to win at home. We see that going forward. We see the effort. Well, we've certainly heard that that'll be the priority from the Ivy, is scoring goals at home. So let's hope we see it from the men as well.
Yeah, there you go. All right, John. Shaneer, anything from you? Or are you good?
I'm good. Come out to the watch party on Saturday. It'll be fun. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a tough game against a high-flying Greenville Triumph, but hey, let's give it. It'd be nice to give him a good sucker punch.
Yeah, and who knows? You know, Richmond might win 4-0, and everything is forgiven. So, with that being said, for Kate, for Shanir, and myself, we just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to our show. Without you, we couldn't do this. Make sure, like I said earlier, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. We're trying to get to 50 total subscribers by, I think I said August. Let's make that July.
Yeah.
And make sure you connect with us on social media because people have been telling me they like the merch that my wife makes. So you might see some other people in merch soon. Who knows? So with that being said, we will holler at you guys next week. As always, up the ruse, and we'll see you guys in the cool, next on the cool side. I'm tired. It's maybe the Mexican rum and Hennessy catching up. Good night, y'all. Stay easy. Be safe.